Just begin with a reminder of the announcements from earlier today. Deacons are due to meet tomorrow evening here in the church hall at 8 o'clock. And then on Wednesday evening, midweek prayer meeting also in the church hall at 8 o'clock. Next Lord's Day is the final day of the Lebanon appeal. And a reminder, any changes in Bible note orders for next year, Bible reading notes, say to Margaret Knox by next Sabbath. With those announcements, we'll come now to worship God this evening, and we commence our worship in prayer. If you're able, please stand now as we pray. We return thanks to you, Lord God, for the day that we've had today. We thank you for the lovely autumn sunshine that there has been. And we thank you for several days like this in recent times. We do give thanks for the different seasons that we experience. We thank you for the variety that this gives to us. And we look to you, Lord, in this season that we're in. We pray that we will know your working. You are the Lord of the harvest. And we pray that there will be a harvest as you have promised. We pray also, Lord, that there will be a spiritual harvest. We pray that you'll be at work throughout the earth, calling people to yourself, opening people's hearts to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, O Lord, that you will be with us now in this time of evening worship. We pray that you help us as we seek to look to your word, and we pray that you would speak to us in your word, and that we would receive that and make good use of the things that are there for us in the Scriptures. Forgive us our sins now, we ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let us read together from God's Word, turning to the New Testament book of 2 Timothy. I want to read some verses in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, and then also some verses in chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and first reading is the first 7 verses of the first chapter. So this is God's word. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And then in chapter 4, at the beginning of that chapter, we have these words. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly. And we end our reading there at verse 9 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Well, I've been speaking about the life of Timothy over these last 4 weeks, and I wanted to do one final sermon in regard to Timothy this evening. And I was speaking last time about how the Apostle Paul was seeking to prepare Timothy for the time when Timothy would be working without the input from the Apostle Paul himself. And Paul knew that that was going to be a challenging time for Timothy. And the letter that we've just read from in the Scriptures, 2 Timothy, is written by Paul in the last weeks of his life. He directs his words to Timothy. There are things that he writes that he wants Timothy to take with him the rest of his life. And he's also expressing the desire that he will see Timothy again before he dies. And so he writes, he gives his final words of counsel. And I'll be thinking in particular this evening of what he has to say in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. But first of all, by way of recap, I want you to think of God's preparations. I want to think about the way in which God had prepared Timothy for that day when the Apostle Paul would no longer be around. And we have seen several ways already in which God had prepared Timothy. He had prepared him through his family upbringing. And here in chapter 1, Paul reminds him of the genuine faith that first dwelt in his grandmother Lois and in his mother Eunice. And Timothy had the blessing of having a believing mother and a believing grandmother. And that was really good preparation for Timothy for the life of Christian work that he was called to. And it is a real blessing to be brought up in a Christian home and to have been taught the Word of God from early days. Timothy had that blessing. And that was part of God's preparations in Timothy's life. And then also there was Timothy's personal faith. It wasn't just that his mother believed and that his granny believed, but Timothy himself had come to repent of his sins. He had come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he embraced the Christian faith for himself. It wasn't somebody else's faith he was living on. He had his own living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So God prepared him by his family upbringing, through his personal coming to faith in Christ. God had prepared him also in the role that the Apostle Paul played in his life. In Paul, he had a teacher and friend. And God brought the Apostle Paul to the place where Timothy lived. And Paul had preached the gospel. Timothy had believed. And in time, a deep friendship between these two men had come into existence. And the Apostle Paul did have a deep love for Timothy. See what he says there in verses 3 and 4 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says that without ceasing, he remembers Timothy in his prayers night and day, and he has a great desire to see him. And if he sees Timothy, he will be filled with joy, and he knows the tears that Timothy himself experiences when he is absent from the Apostle Paul. So Timothy was well prepared by God through the influence of Paul in his life. He was well trained and he was well prayed for. And it is a great blessing to have people that pray for you and to know that whatever you're going through, there will be people that are praying for you. And Timothy knew that. He knew that Paul was praying for him. But he also knew that soon Paul wouldn't be in this world praying for Timothy. God had prepared Timothy also in terms of Timothy's spiritual gifts. And in verse 6 of 2 Timothy 1, Paul reminds Timothy to stir up the gift of God which is in him through the laying on of Paul's hands. God had gifted Timothy for the work that God had for Timothy to do in life. He wasn't someone who was incapable. God had given him gifts, and Paul urges him that he needs to fan those gifts into flame, to stir them up. So God has been working in Timothy's life. God has been preparing him for the day when Paul will no longer be with him. So that's the first thing I wanted to speak about God's preparations. And always in our lives, God is thinking ahead. We don't know what the future will hold for us, but God knows the future. And in the things that are happening in our lives at any stage, God is thinking about what is yet to come. God knows how to prepare his people. Second thing I want to speak about is the personal battles that Timothy faced in life. His personal battles. If you had interviewed Timothy, if you'd been around in his days, and if you'd asked him how he felt about the responsibilities that he would soon have to shoulder for himself, Timothy was not the kind of person who would have said to you, "Well, I think I'm probably pretty well prepared for this task. Things have been leading up to this all the way, and now I feel adequate. I feel ready for this. I feel that whatever comes my way, I can take it in my stride." Timothy wasn't that kind of person. He wasn't that kind of super confident person who will go into any situation expecting to have success. Timothy was not the kind of person to step forward and volunteer for something. If he was told by Paul to go and do something, he would go and do it. But he wasn't someone who pushed himself forward. And there were various things that Timothy would have found an issue in his life, personal battles that he faced. One of them was that when he began his work with Paul, he was very young. And because he was very young when he began working with Paul, by the time that we've got to this stage and Paul's at the end of his life, Timothy would still have been perceived as being a young man. He is probably in his 30s at this stage. And that was regarded as being young in New Testament times. Anyone under 40 was regarded as being young. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, Paul says, "Let no one despise your youth." And Timothy would have seen his age as being a bit of a hindrance, particularly in the early stages, and he would have still felt himself to be a young and inexperienced man compared to the Apostle Paul. Timothy would have been thinking to himself, well, why would they listen to me? Why would they listen to someone who is so young and who has known so little of life? And so that was a personal battle that Timothy had to face. Another personal battle was his poor health. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 23, Paul writes to him and says, "No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities," or frequent illnesses. Timothy was someone who did not have robust health. He had a dodgy stomach, and he had frequent illnesses. Timothy was often unwell. And poor health is not something that fills a person with confidence. When health is poor, you're always wondering how you're going to be whenever there is a particularly important time coming up. Timothy didn't have good health. And so that was a personal battle that he had to face in life. And many of God's servants down through the years have achieved what they achieved, not because their health was really good, but they have done great things in the midst of very poor health. Remarkable things. So, Timothy faced the struggle of poor health. And then he also faced the struggle of his own temperament. Timothy was someone who could easily be held back in his work by his own temperament. He was not someone who was a born leader. One writer, Patrick Fairburn, says that Timothy was disposed to lean rather than to lead. His natural inclination was to lean on someone else rather than to be a leader. So responsibility was not something that Timothy would have gone in search of. Responsibility, the pressures of leadership, were to Timothy a burden rather than a joy. There are some people who can never be content unless they're the lead person. But Timothy wasn't like that at all. He was a bit like Moses in the Scriptures. He was a bit like Jeremiah in the Scriptures. And his natural inclination was to think that he could never do that, and that somebody else could do it far better. And many people who are servants of the Lord are like Timothy in that. There are some people who are paralyzed by lack of confidence, and there are other people who are puffed up, full of self-confidence. And Timothy was more liable to be paralyzed by lack of confidence. And this was something that would be a struggle to him. His temperament was an issue that he had to address in life. And Paul, at various times, addresses this matter and urges Timothy not to let his temperament control his decisions, but to be controlled by something higher than that. And Timothy was inclined to think about his own weakness rather than to think about the strength of God. So those are some of the struggles, the personal battles that Timothy had to face in life. Now, in the third place, I want to speak about Timothy steered by the Spirit. And I want to think in particular of what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. In that verse, the Apostle Paul is speaking very plainly to Timothy. What he says there was directly relevant to Timothy. But these are not words that are just words for Timothy, and the rest of us don't need to think about these words. Paul is warning Timothy in this verse that he should not be controlled by his own natural temperament, but rather he should be controlled by the Holy Spirit. The word Spirit is found in this verse, and I could be wrong, but I think it refers to the Holy Spirit. Paul says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind," or of self-discipline or self-control. And there are four parts to that verse there. And the first part, Paul is saying something that was very important for Timothy. And he says that God has not given us a spirit of fear or a spirit of timidity. Timothy had a naturally timid, fearful temperament. But that wasn't the thing that was to dominate his life. And Paul says to him that God has not given us a spirit of fear. All of us have a particular temperament that is God-given, and it varies from one person to another. Timothy was reasonably shy and sensitive. He was an introvert rather than an extrovert. And when Timothy was born again, he didn't suddenly become someone who had a totally different temperament. But when he was born again, God, the Holy Spirit, came to dwell within him. And when Timothy was saved, he became a new person in Christ. And Timothy needs to remember that when the Holy Spirit was given to him, it was not a fearful Holy Spirit. It was not that the Holy Spirit was leading him to be a fearful and timid person. And when Paul writes these words, they're not just addressed to Timothy. Paul doesn't say, "God did not give you, Timothy, a spirit of fear." But he says, "God has not given us Christians, a spirit of fear." For you, if you're a Christian, scriptures say to you that God has not given you a spirit of fear, that the Holy Spirit who lives within you is not encouraging you to be a fearful person. When we are anxious in life, when we are afraid, and when we draw back, that is not the Spirit of God leading us in that situation. That is us allowing our own natural temperament to dictate the way we handle things in life. And that is not the way of God, the Holy Spirit. God has not given us a spirit of fear. No matter how quiet we are by nature, No matter how inclined by nature we are to leave things to others, God says that He has not given us a spirit of fear or a spirit of timidity. And there is a shyness, there is a reluctance to speak, there's a reluctance to take on responsibility that is not to be praised. It isn't humility, it is a spirit of fear. And there is a difference. And God says to us here that I have not given you a spirit of fear. Now, Timothy knew that he was not a Paul. He was not an apostle. He was not Saul of Tarsus. But it was not an option for Timothy, because he wasn't a Paul, to sit back and just be a spectator in the work of the Christian church. There was work to be done, and there was work to be done by Timothy. There were people in Ephesus that needed to be taught. There were false teachings that needed to be exposed. There were warnings that needed to be given. And there were souls that needed to be won. And that wouldn't be accomplished through a spirit of fear or timidity. So Paul says to Timothy, and he says to us, God has not given us a spirit of fear. The Holy Spirit who lives within us is not the source of any fear that we have in life. God does not lead us to be afraid. So that's an important thing that Paul is teaching Timothy and teaching all of us. And then he goes on to remind Timothy and to remind us of what the Holy Spirit does produce in His saved people. He says God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but He has given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of sound mind, or of self-control or self-discipline. Paul says to Timothy, God has given us a spirit of power. Timothy's problem, or part of Timothy's problem, was that he was inclined to focus too much on his own weakness and not enough on the strength, the power of God's Spirit. And when Timothy was tempted to shy away from something that really needed to be done, he needed to remind himself that he had the Holy Spirit of God within him. And the Holy Spirit is a spirit of power. You don't have to have a powerful personality to do great things for God. But you do need to trust in the power of God's Spirit at work within you. And God wants His people not to be fearful, but to be strong and to be courageous. Not to retreat from the battles because of fear, but to believe that within us there is a spirit of power. Paul also reminds Timothy that the Spirit of God within him is a spirit of love. And through the work of God's Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is produced within us. Fruit of the Spirit is love. Spirit of God leads us to love others. And Timothy had seen that Spirit of God at work in the life of the Apostle Paul. Timothy knew himself to be deeply loved by Paul. And Paul was going to lay down his life because of his love for the Lord and his love for the Lord's people. And Timothy needed to have that same attitude, that spirit of love needed to be in him. And if he allowed his own natural temperament to rule his life, there would be many acts of love that Timothy would leave undone. He would be afraid of the consequences If I do this, maybe this will all go wrong. Well, it's not God's Spirit that tells us not to bother because we might regret it. That's a spirit of fear. God's Spirit is a spirit of love. And Paul also says that the spirit that God has given us is a spirit of a sound mind. Or that word can mean self-discipline or self-control. And self-discipline or self-control is something that is, again, it's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And that is something that can provoke and arouse opposition from other people. When people see someone who has a self-discipline that they don't have, then it's a rebuke to them. And they often react against that. The Spirit of God leads us to have a healthy self-discipline. Self-discipline isn't trusting in yourself, but rather it's realizing your own feelings, and it's seeking by the Spirit of God to bring those things under control. Fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And Timothy wasn't to worry about what his critics were saying. He was to be concerned about his own relationship with God first and foremost. And if he could subdue his own self, then he would be equipped to exercise rule within the church. God had given Timothy gifts for carrying out the work that God had for Timothy to do. But Timothy needed to stir up that gift of God within him. And without self-control, without self-discipline, gifts become useless. There are many gifted people, but if they don't work at their gifts, they don't use the things that the abilities that God has given to them, they lose these things, and these things don't serve any good purpose. And so Timothy needed to grasp that the Holy Spirit of God that is within him is a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-control. And that is what all Christians need to understand as well. God has not given us, in the 21st century, he has not given us, in the year 2020, a spirit of fear. A spirit of fear in the age of COVID-19 does not come from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear. There are many things for us to be concerned about, things that are going on in our own area and further afield in the world. But it is not God's desire for us to be gripped by a spirit of fear. That does not come from God, the Holy Spirit. That comes from ourselves. That comes from our own natural fears. And we have to fight against that. And we have to not be a people who are dominated by a spirit of fear. We need to have confidence in the Lord God Almighty. We need to believe in the Spirit of God who is at work within every Christian. And this is something that is of great relevance to us at the present time. We do not give a good witness to the Lord Jesus Christ if we are people who are crippled by fear and anxiety, and where our faith in Christ doesn't seem to make much difference to us. in the Bible, we're taught that as Christians, we do not mourn as those, or we do not grieve as those who have no hope. And we have hope. We have a great hope. And in all that we're facing in the world, in the present health situation, we are not to be as those who are without the Spirit of God. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And we have to reject the fears that bubble up and well up within us. And we have to choose to not be dominated by those thoughts, but to remember that God is our refuge, God is our strength, He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. And that if the Lord is with us, who can be against us? We need to have that spirit that is called for here, that is the outworking of the Spirit of God Himself. Timothy would face some really hard things in life. There would be things that would make Timothy really afraid. But he mustn't give in to that fear, because that is not the way the Spirit of God would be leading him. You read in the Old Testament, many times different people are told to be strong and courageous. And those are the things that God's people today need to be. We need to be strong. We need to be courageous. We must not give in to the fear that is there in the hearts of those who have no hope. No hope. We have hope. And because we have hope, we must not be dominated by fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And those were words that Timothy could take with him for the rest of his days. Paul would not be there, but the Spirit of God would be within him. And the Spirit of God would enable him to triumph over the fears, not give in to the fears, to press on in the work of the Lord God Almighty. So, we think of this character, Timothy, man who would always have his struggles. It wouldn't be easy for him to do the things that he would have to do, but God would be with him. And Paul expected that Timothy would have success, and he expected that he would do the things that Paul writes to him, telling him that he must do. Timothy had to fight against fear, and God's people often have to fight against fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen. Well, let us now look to God in our prayers. Yes, just recently, an elderly Supreme Court judge in America died, and this has become a big issue with those who want to see a conservative member of the Supreme Court appointed, and others who want to see a liberal Supreme Court judge appointed, and this comes in the run-up to the presidential election in America, and it seems that everything that happens in America seems to divide people, and so we need to pray for that land and that that situation. So many things happening all at the one time. Let us draw near to God now. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we look to you and we thank you that you are the God who saved Saul of Tarsus. You called him to be your apostle. And we thank you for how you used him mightily. We praise you for how you so worked that he called Timothy to serve as his assistant. And we praise you, Lord, for how we can see that these two men were not men who were just like each other. We thank you for the different kind of character that Timothy was, and for the kind of things that Timothy found difficult and kind of things that he struggled with. And Lord, we praise you that you're able to use people who do struggle in life. We ask that you will help us in thinking about these words that Paul addressed to Timothy and to us. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us not to allow ourselves to be dictated to by the fears that we have, the doubts that we have, the worries that we have, the concerns and anxieties that we have. We thank you that your spirit is not a spirit of fear. We pray, Lord, for those who have much more to be afraid of than we have. We pray for persecuted Christians in different parts of the world. We pray for Christians in various countries in Africa, where they live under the threat of militant Muslims. And we ask, Lord, that you will protect your people, that you will guard their hearts, and we pray for law and order to prevail in those lands where there have been many atrocities that have taken place. We pray for other parts of the world. We pray for Christian believers in China and how they see the authorities in their land seeking to totally control the Christian church and turn it into a tool of the Communist Party. And we pray for them, O Lord, and the concerns they have. And we pray that you will help them to be strong and courageous. We pray that when they are beaten, that they will not give in to the physical pressures that are placed upon them. Pray that you help them in the psychological pressures and the things that they're told will happen to their families if they don't renounce the faith. Lord, we pray for people in those horrible kind of situations, and we pray that they would know that Spirit of God, making them strong and courageous. And we pray for ourselves, O Lord, in our own life situations. Help us not to give in to fear. Help us not to choose the route that is just the least risky route in life. We pray that you'll help us, O Lord, to have a strong faith in you, a strong confidence, that courage that is of the Lord. We pray that we might know that spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And Lord, we ask for that work of your spirit within our lives. May we not be like those, O Lord, who have no hope, but may we live as those who have a sure and certain hope. We pray for our missionaries. We ask that you would give them encouragements in the work they do. We pray for the new work in Spain. We thank you, Lord, for those who gather there as a Reformed Presbyterian mission work. We pray that you will build up that group in their faith and their fellowship. Help Isaac Barakol in his ministry there. We pray that you will be with him in all the work that he does, both in seeking to develop a new work and in seeking to help in the Reformed Baptist Church there in Malaga. We pray for the new season of activities in Nantes, and we pray that you will be with Andrew and Heather Little. Help them, O Lord, in all they seek to do. And we pray that in the different aspects of their work, there will be good things that will be happening. We pray that there will be new people coming into the Nantes area that they can have contact with, and that their witness can extend throughout the world through the different nationalities of people that come among them. Pray also for the work in Galway. We pray for the Jeffreys there. Help them again in a new season of activities. New people arriving in Galway, and we pray for those who are leaving and going back to the lands that they've come from. And Lord, we pray that you will continue to work there in the church in Galway. We pray that there will be many who will hear the true gospel and come to believe in the Lord for themselves. We pray for the United States of America in these days of great turmoil. And in the run-up to their presidential election early in November, we pray for this matter of the vacancy in their Supreme Court and the important position that is. And we pray that you will overrule in this, Lord. We acknowledge that you're the one who takes lives away, and that your timing is no accident. And we do pray, O God, that it may be the case that the laws in that land would be better laws because of the person that will come to be appointed as a judge, as one of those nine judges in the Supreme Court. Pray also for the presidential election, and as we read about the two men that are seeking office, and hear things that they say, Lord, we would have many, many concerns. But we thank you, God, that you are the sovereign Lord. And we thank you that you're the one who can turn men's hearts in a direction that they would never turn of their own accord. And so we pray that in your mercy, you would do that. And we ask, Lord, that you'll hear the prayers of your people. And we pray that the result of that election would not be something that proves to make things worse rather than better. But we pray that your sovereign goodness would be seen to triumph over all the affairs of life. We ask, Lord, for your help now in the things that we face in the days to come. And we pray that you be with us in our day-to-day lives. We pray that you help us to have confidence in you, to know that you will supply all our needs. And we pray, Lord, that you will be pleased to use us as your servants. And we pray that the things that we do would not prove to be wasted and valueless, but that you would cause those things to be effective and to have an everlasting significance. Lord, we look to you. We pray that you will continue to lead us in and through your word. And we pray all now in Jesus' name. Amen. We close our service singing verses at the end of Psalm 31. They're all on page 58 of our psalm book, stanzas 19 to 24 of Psalm 31, and the tune we use is Bromsgrove number 59. So Psalm 31. How great the goodness you for those who fear you keep in store, and work for those who trust in you, the sons of man before. You have a hiding place for them, safe from the plots of men, a shelter from abusive words for them you do maintain. Oh, let the Lord's great name be blessed, for wondrously has he revealed his love when I was in a city under siege. Although I said in my alarm, I am cut off from your eyes, yet when I called to you for help, you heard my pleading cries. O love the Lord, you godly ones, the Lord, the faithful guards. As for the one who acts in pride, he'll get his just reward. So then, be strong. Take to your heart the courage he will send. All you whose hope and confidence do on the Lord depend. We're urged to be those who place our hope and confidence in the Lord. And we're called upon to be strong and to expect that God will send courage to our hearts. Be strong and courageous, we're told, and God is the one who can send his courage into our hearts. So Psalm 31, we sing from 19 to 24, the tune Bromsgrove, number 59. We remain seated, and then I will close the service in the benediction.
How great the goodness of us, a big sat in my alarm. I'm cut off from your eyes. Yet when I called to you for help, you heard my pleading cries. You heard my pleading cries. All of the Lord, you godly ones, the Lord, the faithful gods. As for the one who acts in pride, he'll get his just reward. He'll get his just reward. So then be strong, take to your heart the courage he will send. All you who top and confidence, do on the Lord depend. Do on the Lord defend.
Now receive God's blessing. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be yours in abundance. Amen.